Good evening. I'll give everybody 10 bucks after. Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a long line there, huh? He's promised 10 bucks. Anyway, quick question. And I like audience participation because this is certainly not about me. It's about us. What is the job that Christ left the church when he left and went back to heaven? What's the job? Not all at one time. Raise your hand. No, don't you raise your hand. What's the job again? To win the world, spread the gospel. Yeah. Now, has anybody here been in the Navy? Okay, I forget your name. I'm sorry. Al, Big Al. If they wanted everybody on deck, what did they to do? You know, they had a job to do. They would say what? All hands on deck, right? Now, if we're to accomplish the job that Christ gave us to win the world to him, and as of now, it's like 98-99% of Christians are in the stands watching a couple pastors, a couple evangelists, and a couple body members, lay members, do the job. But you know what? To win the loss, we can't be spectators. We have to be in the game, right? Amen? Amen. If you disagree with me, say, no, I disagree. And I don't, if I hear that, the security, you know, right here. Miriam right here? No, not Miriam. She's all, I hear her on the internet. I hear, amen, and then I hear, oh, that's Miriam. I can, she's, these Italians are loud. I'm just kidding. Pittsburgh Italians are loud. Her brother's just as loud. Anyway, so the thing is, it's not going to get done, right? If it's just 1% or a handful of people doing and everybody else watching, oh, we're praying for you. I feel like saying, well, how about joining us? Join us. Because you know what? What we experienced yesterday blew us all away in D.C. The prayer, I think God has to move. With that many people, that was an unbelievable response. And there was probably a million or more at home online, or like my mom's pastor had 70 people downtown Youngstown praying on the corner of Federal Street, praying at the same time. So as of now, it's just, you know, a bunch of people watching and a few people doing it. And that's not going to cut it. Look where our nation is because of that. So we need all hands on deck. Say that with me. All hands on deck. Now, if you're watching on the internet, or maybe you're here and you've kind of gotten distracted about winning the lost, or you used to do it, and oh, well, I'm too old. Well, Caleb has an answer to that. Give me that mountain, right? Or I'm too young, or I don't know how to do it. Well, watch somebody that does. There's quite a few people here that are excellent at it. Just watch them, and you'll catch it. That's how I got good at it. I watched people that were good at it, and so what do we need? What has to happen in order to win the world? All hands on deck. So I don't have that woo-wee, you know, that little whistle that they blow. I couldn't find one of those. I wanted to bring one. And okay, we got a lady midshipman here, but. What has to happen? All hands on deck. Now, there were two men that are now in heaven. One just passed away this year, and one 3 years ago, who was my mentor in Bible college for 4 years. His lovely wife, Patty, is sitting probably third row, Patty Khaleesi. Her husband, Joe Khaleesi, and James Kirby, who just passed away this last 8 months, both men had amazing impact on my life. Both were amazing men, and I don't like to say great men of God because none of us are great, but we're at the best we can be a faithful people with a great God. I'm a faithful man with a great God is the greatest compliment you can give anyone, a faithful woman with a great God, not a great woman of God or a great man of God. But those two men, they had both hands on deck, and they were working, either winning the lost or training people. Pastor Joe, I got good at sharing the gospel because I watched Pastor Joe for 40 years, Joe Khaleesi. And all hands on deck, and now they're in glory looking down. They're the only ones that are allowed to just be spectators because they've already been in the game. And they've hit the showers, and they're already, they're retired, I guess you could say it. That's the only time they retire is when the Lord takes you. But those two men, James Kirby and Joe Calisi, they were always all hands on deck. Both of their hands were always on deck, sharing the gospel or doing a Bible study or training somebody. And that's what we need to mirror our lives, James Kirby and Joe Calisi. And so what do we need to do? All hands on deck. So are our hands on deck? That's the question. And if they're not, hey, get back in the game. Don't ask the coach to play. Just get off the bench and get in. You don't need permission. But, don't do that, basketball players, with Coach Lynch, because he'll bench you. But you got to get permission if you're on the basketball team at GGCA. But as far as winning the lost, you just get back in the game if you've kind of lost your fire, or maybe because of details or work schedules, well, you ask the Lord to get that work schedule so your hands can be on the deck winning the loss. So what do we need to be? All hands on deck. Father God, we thank you for this great privilege to represent you, Lord. Give us the strength, the energy, the health. Lord, help us to be like James and Joe, and to, when you take us out of the game for good, you can just, and I know they both heard, well done, my good and faithful servant. And probably, I'm sure, part of the Morningstar order. So Lord, help us to be like Mr. Kirby and Pastor Joe, and to get our hands, our whole bodies, not just our hands, but our whole bodies on deck, winning the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I love you guys.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 15. We have two short pieces to share tonight. Donnie Fisher is such a dear friend of ours and a graduate of the class of 1992 and MBCNS, avid fan and servant in Ohio, Youngstown, and we love him very much. He's so special to us. When we were there yesterday in D.C., and we saw all these believers, we couldn't help but think how amazing the body of Christ is, and what it is, and how all these people who have been the imperfect people, or wrong people, sinful people. Out of that crowd, how many thieves, liars, proud, angry, frustrated people have been changed, saved, forgiven? How many of them also still struggle with problems, addictions, unbelief or fears? When you look at the church, it's amazing what has happened in our life. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says that the spirit of a man is like the candle of the Lord, and it searches all the inner parts of the belly. There's nothing deeper in a person than the spirit. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And we know that when Christ came, the first Adam was a living soul, but Christ a quickening spirit. It happened when you touched Jesus, you could be healed, Mark 5. When you listen to him, you could become alive, so much that you don't go home to get food. You just stay there. And you say, honey, I think we got to stay another day. Well, we don't have any food. Don't worry about it. We are here. Let's listen to him. 3 days passed, and he didn't want to send them home because they were hungry and had no food. Why didn't they have food? Because they were listening, and the Spirit was speaking to them. They liked it. They enjoyed it. They heard it. They it resonated. They counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out, like draw it out. How many of those people who went down there for that prayer and the quietness with so many thousands of people and the kindness and the spirit of peace and the prayer was noticeable. So in Luke 15, the story is this way. I'll draw a little sketch. Jesus is in the middle, and around him are publicans and sinners like this. There's a group around him, like a circle. And then on the outside, there are the Pharisees as he's talking. So in Luke 15, it says, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Why did they draw near to him? To hear him. What do you mean? What were they hearing? They were hearing him. Pastor Butch Vieta, in our prayer group yesterday, as we walked down through it, he said something interesting in his prayer. He said, America has lost its axe head. It's from a story in 2 Kings 6. America has lost its axe head in the water, if you know that story. And the prophets were building houses, and they needed more room, so they were cutting down some trees by the river, and the axe head flew off and went into the river, and it was lost. And they said to the prophet Elijah, "The axe head was borrowed, and we've lost it." You see, when a prophet like you and I, in this sense, that the Spirit of God dwells in us, the church, we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit speaks, and there's something resonating, and we draw near because we want to hear him. Because if there's a prophet, as it was in the story, and Elijah did something strange, like the axe head is lost, and what did he do? You know the story. He cut down a tree, and he threw the... No, I'm sorry. He took a stick. Yeah, he took a stick. Moses cut down the tree in Exodus 15. Elijah took a stick. Both are wood, aren't they? Both are wood, and it's a metaphor for something deeper coming in life, and that's the cross, another tree, the stick. And he threw it in the river, and the iron floated. It came up, and they got it. It floated. Iron doesn't float. But God's ways are not our ways. And the prayers that were prayed yesterday and the prayers that are being prayed now, we do not know what it means because we are flesh and blood. But take another look at us. We are spirit. We are spirit. You see, flesh and blood is like an animal. Spirit is like an angel. We're a blend. Like an animal and like an angel. We're a mix. That somehow we're very unique. God made angels and he made animals and then he made man. And he made man like him. Wow. There's something beautiful about us. That's crazy. It's crazy. But in the story, this is from Friday night's class with Pastor Justin. He's told the story this way from Luke 15. He said, the publicans are close and listening, and the Pharisees are like one step outside the circle, and they're listening, you know, something like this, to catch Jesus, to catch him. They're like, this man doesn't know what he's talking about. This man is a rabbi that's gone off the rails. This man is not with us. This man is different. Luke 4:32, Jesus did not speak like the scribes and Pharisees, for he spoke with power. It was spiritual. And he told three stories to the publicans and sinners, and they listened. And they were about three lost things, a sheep. And you can imagine him telling the story, and the sinners are liking to hear him. And he said, a man had 100 sheep, lost a sheep, left the 99, and went and found him and brought him back. And what did he say? He brought him back what? And what happened? Rejoicing, party time. And all, you know, the sinners like that. Yeah. Party time. He came back rejoicing. The second one, the lost coin. And the woman found it in the house. And there was rejoicing. Third one, a son is lost. And he comes home and he's rejoicing. And it's party time. Do you know that sinners need to know that there's something deeper to life than my sin? And it's God's love. Sinners need to know that God is seeking, loving, forgiving, that he bought these people with his own blood, that he came into the world to save us and give us grace. You know, when the Pharisees are listening to the last story Jesus told about the man had two sons. One was lost, and the other elder son was the good one at home. He was kind of like acting like a Pharisee. What, my brother, I have been with you all my life. I have been serving you, and you wouldn't even give us a goat. And here you take my lost brother, and you give him the fatted calf. Jesus is saying that the Pharisees don't know God and the Spirit of God. They don't know the nature of God, the love of God. America has lost the axe head. Our mission has lost God, has lost our purpose, have lost our foundation, our roots, and the only way to find them, get them back, is on a very personal level with the God that talks to us and speaks to us. Let me show you that in the closing story. 2 Kings chapter 4. Please turn there. Beautiful. A woman in the story had a son by a miracle. The son grew up, had a headache, my head, and he died. And she went to tell Elijah. Elijah said, take him to my bedroom, my house, my room, and put him on my bed. And then he said to Gehazi in verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in your hand, go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. You see, she said, I'm not going to leave Elijah. But Elijah said to his servant, go to the dead boy with my staff and lay the staff on him. And that's what I want you to do. Don't salute anybody when you go. Don't say hi to anybody. Just be focused on what you're doing. You're to go to raise the boy from the dead. And so the man did. The man went. But it didn't work. It didn't work. Why? Because this is different. This is not a program. This is not a religion. I have an ongoing talk with the lifeguard at the pool that I swim at. And this afternoon, I swam there for a little bit and talked with him for a longer time. Now, he doesn't know anything. He's a college student. He said, I don't know anything about religion. I don't know anything about it. I said, do you know about the cross? Yes, I've heard about that. Do you know about the two thieves crucified? No. Have you heard the name Judas Iscariot? No. I don't know anything, you know. How about God? Yes, I know. I want to know. I want to know. So, like, so interesting, this guy. And he's smart. He's smart. I told him. I go, because I talked to him 2 months ago. And I saw him today again. He said, I remember the talk we had. You know, I get out of the pool, I go over and sit down next to him, and I talk to him. And it's that simple. It's beautiful. But you know, you don't have, you and I, we have form, but do we have the essence? We have form. Look at the picture. The publicans and sinners have met somebody who has the essence. And these guys, a step out, they have the form. But they don't have the power. They don't have authority. They don't have connection. They're like Gehazi, who goes to Elijah, says, go and take my staff. And, you know, go and lay it on the child. Yes, sir. You know, okay. It doesn't work. Every generation in America, what is needed is not the form, but the essence. Every life in this room, we don't need the form, we need the essence. Every life, we don't need the form. Every family, we don't need the form, we need the essence. But I gave everything to my kids. But I gave them the, but my kid, it's, what are the kids crying out for? The party over here. The party of grace. The connection. The joy. The wisdom. The connection. Where is Jesus? Oh, he's up in the Sermon on the Mount up there. Yeah, but honey, if we go up there, we won't have the food. We had to come back all the way. We got to walk 2 days, and now we're going. We'll trust God. We're going to go. I don't know. I cannot tell you how it will be organized. There will not be packed lunches. I don't know how it will be going. I do not know, but I believe God. Let's go listen to the Son of God. Wow. You see? It's great. Life is based on the essence of God, the reality of God. How many seminaries are as dry as cardboard? How many seminaries, I've told you some stories that I've spoken to pastors in Europe. They said, how do you know the Bible so well? I go, I studied it for 4 years in Bible, or 3 years in Bible college. And they and I said, how much study did you have of the Bible? He said, 1 semester out of 4 years of Bible. What else did you study? Languages, culture, leadership, psychology, administration, business. What else did you study? It's like Gehazi with a staff. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. He hasn't spent any time. He has not been receiving. He does not know what it is that is needed. So let's read the story and we'll finish. It says, verse 29. He said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins, take my staff." We already read this. We'll read it again. "Go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. If any salute, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child." You know what the child needed? Not a staff on his face. He needed a face on the face. You know what you need? A face. You do. You need a face. In the American Civil War, photography was a new thing. And with some soldiers on the battlefield, the dead bodies, they had a picture on their chest. It was like the last thing they looked at. I need a face. "I was glad at the coming of Titus," Paul said. "I could see his face." What's the name of God when Jacob wrestled the angel and he said, "What is your name?" And the angel said, "Faces. My name is Faces." Wow. When I'm depressed, I need God's face of encouragement. When I'm legalistic, I need God's face of anger. When I'm hurt, I need God's face of compassion. When Gehazi went with a staff, maybe he gave religion on the face, and maybe even empty prayers or mechanical prayers or something. And so the woman, the mother, knew. She said, "I'm not going with him. I'm going with you, Elijah. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going with you because I believe you got the answer. You can send your servant all day long, but I need you." I love that story, and I want to stir you up and encourage you in your faith because I believe that our prayers are powerful. I believe our lives change, help people. I believe our lives are sacred. I believe our influence is holy. I believe in whatever position you're at in your life. I believe you're like these publicans and sinners who are they're happy. Jesus, tell us another story about joy and finding something that was lost. So, verse 30, "The mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave you.' And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on, laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, 'The child is not awaked.' When Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his dead, just as dead as he was before Gehazi went." Gehazi didn't change a single thing. Gehazi didn't mean anything. Some churches are closed down. Stay closed down. We don't need you. That's what an attitude I got. Pray for me. Hey, you're closed down. What are you, crazy? Remember the story? We have a woman here. She's a nurse. She worked with a nurse, and she said, "You need God. You're afraid." She said, "I'm afraid of COVID and everything." The nurse said, "You need to go to church." So she went to church, it was closed. Went to another one, it was closed. So she went to the liquor store, and it was open. And she started drinking. And she said, I never drank before. I've started to drink. And I mean, that story is whatever it is. I don't want to overdo the thing, but I do want to say, why would a church be closed when there's a pandemic? Why would there be a church closed when there is a need? Why would a church be closed? Why would a school be closed? Why would our kids be left at home with nothing but a computer? Why would we not have a face? You know, some kind of a face, right? Okay. I can tell some of you are getting nervous. Pastor Shell, you crossed the line. You crossed the line. Okay, go to it now. Verse Verse 32. No. Yeah, 33. He went in, therefore, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. He goes in, he and the dead child, he shut the door. That's when you mean business. That's when you don't need anybody looking at you. That's when you don't need any audience. That's when you've got you, it's you and God. And that's what he had in his heart. And I want to make it clear, you and I have the same thing. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And you can pray fervent prayers and touch God. God uses you. Now, I love it. We did not learn to fool around with some staff or something. No, Elijah's all business. All business. It's going to happen. I am into this. This little boy is going to live. I am into this. This is going to happen. I've got the connection with God. God is in it. God gave this woman the boy by a miracle, and he died, and God's going to give him back to her. That's what I believe. You got to have something going on in your spirit and in your heart in this life that is so dull and boring without Christ. If you live a life without Christ, you're going to be gravitating into garbage. You're going to be standing around the room like a fair, maybe in that way, you know, standing around the room saying, it's not right what he's saying. It's not right what he's saying. What do you know? You empty person, you. You judgmental, empty suit. You foolish, proud man. Are you listening to those people? Those people will steal your joy. Those people will take a church and turn it into a group of baptized in vinegar people. That kind of spirit is legalistic. That spirit takes the joy, takes the wind out of our life. That kind of spirit is not a gracious spirit, not a loving spirit, not a joyful spirit. Do you know some people are led by their emotions, and the Spirit of God wants to communicate to us the mind and the emotions of God, the joy of God. So how does it read here? It says, he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth. Bear with me here. It says he put his mouth upon his mouth. Does that sound like Jesus to you in a spiritual way, where he is right with you in your face, that he is identifying, that he is transferring, that we are transcending, that we are relating, and that this is not people, this is God. This is God visiting his people. This is the heart of God answering to the heart of a man that is hurting, or in this case, is dead. And his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, walked in the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Now, he went up a second time, right, and stretched himself. So he's getting warm, child is getting warm, and Elijah gets off of him, and he's walking in the house back and forth, and he goes, I'm going to do it again. I'm going back on him again. I am in this thing. This is amazing. I don't know what happened. I don't really know what it means. I don't understand the story, actually, except in the way that I'm explaining it to you tonight. And you can take it and digest it on your own. But all I'm trying to say is that there was something that was done that didn't work, and then a man of God came into the picture and it worked. And America has lost its axe head, but America's not done, because there are men and women of God that can take a stick and throw it in the river, and the axe head does swim. And besides, the living Christ who died on the cross, the tomb is empty. The gospel is a reality. He forgives sinners. He forgives them. He saves them. And he dwells in them. They are filled with the Spirit by the grace of God. And then this book starts to open up to me. And I start to live by it. It refreshes me like a big, long glass of cold water. This book is the message. I mean, this book is imparted. This book fills churches. Remember Oswald Chambers in Egypt, 1918, 1917, at a tent where 400 British soldiers in World War I, when they were fighting the Turks, and it was a very tough time, and the tent was there for movies and entertainment. And Oswald Chambers showed up for the YMCA, and he goes, "There'll be no movies. What will we do?" He said, "We'll have prayer meeting, and I'll preach the Bible." They'll say, "Nobody will come." And he said, "Then they will not come. But we're not here to show movies. Hearts are empty. People are broken. People are hurting, and they need Christ." Guess what happened? They had 8 people. They had said prayer, and he opened the Bible. He started to preach and teach the Bible. Within a very short time, 400 British soldiers are packed in the tent, listening to a wise man speak by the Spirit of God. That wasn't laying a staff on somebody's mouth. That was mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, message from the heart to people. Awesome story. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Sometimes people ask me just in the hallway, "Could you pray for me? Pray for my aunt, pray for my brother." Pray for somebody, and they go into detail, had the leukemia and the chemistry of it and everything about it, and they ask for prayer, and they have precious hearts, and I hear them. But I, in my heart, I say, "How can I pray? Like, just, I need something more." Father, we pray. How can all these needs, how can we do it? I don't want to just say prayers just mechanically. None of us do. You've called us to be anointed. And Jesus prayed. It says, when he was in public, it looks like they were short prayers. But then at night by himself, they were long prayers. Sometimes all night, because he loved you. He was in connection with you. And we had a great day yesterday, Lord. And we believe that you hear these prayers for our country where we've lost something. Give it to us fresh. Please save. One pastor from Texas prayed for all the pastors in America. And I feel that prayer is being answered. Many of our sisters and brothers saying prayers, we ask you, Father, and lead us in these days and feed us with what we need and teach us, Lord. Anyone listening to my voice, you don't have Jesus in your life, you need him. You need him, it's a must. You must be born again. You must have him. You must accept him. And it happens in a second. Say to Jesus, "Yes, I believe." Say it, please. In Jesus' name. Anybody saying that prayer in the auditorium, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a word of encouragement. Meet us in the foyer or meet us after the meeting. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.